Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2023, 5/3/23, 15 minutes past the hour, 36 degrees and partly sunny skies here in the Marion area. And it is a wonder this morning that I, at this point, am even awake, a little bleary-eyed after last night's primary coverage, which we did on this station, from 7:15 until 10 o'clock last night, straight through. And I thank everybody who participated in that coverage. We had a lot of fun last night, and I'm going to say a few things about that as the morning goes on. Before I get into the results last night, one of the first things I want to say is we have been doing election coverage on this station for 9 years now. And I will tell you something. The group that we had last night, for whatever reason, if you listen to that coverage, and we didn't stop at all, 7:15 until 10, it was the best coverage we have ever had, I think. I look back at it now and I think, I don't know what happened last night. We had some different people in different places. Maybe that was it. Glenn Coble came in the studio with us. Of course, he's running for mayor, so I thought it was good to have him in as a Democratic counterpoint to all the Republican races last night. Sean Kraft was in studio with me, as he always is. We had call-ins from Sue McGowan and Jason Schauber after his win, so we thank him for calling in. And Sue McGowan called in before that race was called, so it was good to talk to her. We also had a couple listeners call in and also got a couple listener messages on Facebook, which was good to know people were out there listening. And really, I have to say, the star of the night was Matthew Morgan, who, it was his first time on the air, first time he'd ever really done anything for us, and he went down to the Board of Elections, which is not an easy job, and he did such a great job last night. He killed it down at the Board of Elections last night. When I got home, I was so proud of our team last night. I would have stacked that coverage up against any national, state coverage, period, anywhere. We never broke away. We gave you the results. We told you what was going on in Marion. We had good guests. We had exclusive interviews. I don't think there was anything better going on in Marion last night or anywhere else. And just because of the way the newspaper runs, you can read it online today, and there's some stories in there about the election. But anybody who gets the hard copy is not going to get anything until Thursday morning, just because the paper was already put to bed last night by the time the election was over. But our coverage was great. I anchored it. I was okay. You know, I did what I normally do. But we had fun. And I'm going to tell you, it is. We took no breaks. No top of the hour breaks. No anything. And we were on the air for nearly 3 hours straight. And I don't think we had a bad moment. Now, I don't know who listened to that last night. But if anybody disagrees or would like to agree with me, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you would like to agree or disagree with last night's election coverage here on the station. But I will tell you, again, I thank Sean Kraft, Glenn Coble, Matt Morgan, Sue McGowan, Jason Schauber, and all the listeners who participated online and by calling in last night. It was a fun night. Election coverage, as I say, can be tedious. because when you go in, you don't know what's going to happen, and sometimes it can be long, and last night was a little longer than I think, I don't know that any of us thought it was going to go until 10 o'clock last night, because there wasn't a whole lot on the ballot, but we just had a great time last night. And by the way, a big thank you goes out to Sarah, our favorite bus driver, because about 9 o'clock, I think, she showed up with a pizza for us. Just walked in, dropped off the pizza, said, here you go, guys, and left. Again, our listeners are the best. No doubt about it. So thank you, Sarah, for dropping off that pizza last night. And thank everybody who participated. We had fun. We hope you had fun. And again, if anybody has any comments who listened to the broadcast last night of the election returns, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. Now, as far as the returns themselves go, if you didn't listen last night or you haven't seen the returns anywhere, which is perfectly possible this morning because a lot of people don't have social media or internet, let's go to the phones here and then we'll come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
One of them old cloudy days, you got old Ted up and ready to make a comment.
Hey, I'm ready for it.
Well, I think it was really great. I liked the grand opening music. That was political music, if it ever was.
I thought that was
really good, Scott. I'm not joking about that or anything or making fun or nothing. It just was great.
You know, when it's funny you mention that, because when we started, the political music was playing last night, and I said to Sean, who was in the studio, I said, well, here we go. This is the jumping off point. And we have, and I will fully admit, we have had some teams together on election night that sometimes did not get it right, and it just did not gel well, and we're fully aware of that. Last night, Matt Morgan, first time being on the air down at the Board of Elections, I thought he was fantastic. I thought Glenn and Sean did a fantastic job in the studio keeping it rolling. And I felt that Sue and Jason Schauber, when they called in, were honest. They gave honest interviews. And it was just, I could not have been happier with the broadcast.
I'll have to agree with all of the above.
Yeah, you know, it just seemed to work last night. And I'm glad. I think what we did last night was we kept Marion informed in a way, in real time, of what was going on that nobody else was really able to do.
That's right. I'm always praising you because you do a wonderful job in your profession. And if it wasn't for you to keep Glenn and Mr. Kraft under control, why... I don't know what would happen. Then it went wild, wouldn't they?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. Being the anchor on those nights is an interesting place to be, because you've got the two guys in the studio, and you've got to keep them on track, and you've got interviews coming in, and you try to do those because you don't know who's coming, so you have no notes. It's just what it is. And you don't know when Matt's calling because you don't know when the votes are coming in. So you got about 17 balls up in the air you're trying to juggle. And yeah. I just thought it came off great.
Well, Matt, you could tell by his answering you back, he was a very polite and very well-trained gentleman. I don't know what age group he's in, but there's another plus for young people. I know he isn't real old.
No, Matt is, I'm trying to think of how old Matt is. I think he's maybe just 20, 21 years old.
Yeah, I'm very polite, and he's going to go a long ways, and he knows how to handle the job for his first time in there, and not knowing what's going to arrive when and this and that, and he done a good job there also, yeah.
You know, and I was thinking last night, I thought Matt being 2021 and doing that good, that, and it was really his first time ever on the air, I thought, hey, one day he can replace me.
Yeah.
He could handle it.
But I'm glad you said one day, because your career is just starting, you know, a young guy like yourself.
Well, and I'm having a good time with it. You know, I hope that comes across last night, in that we never took a break.
in 3 hours. We never did a top of the hour. We never did anything. We were there for 3 hours. And
tell me about poor old Ted laying there. I was laying there in bed, and I kept looking at the clock, and I thought, well, the way it was programmed, you're just going to come on the air at 7:15 and probably be out there around 9 o'clock or something. And I kept looking, and I thought, you know, man, I'm not used to staying up this late. And I thought, well, I'm going to hang this baby, hang in there with the rest of them, and you keep in control of Glenn and Sean. Why, that was a good show. Yeah, you all performed well. And the candidates calling in, I thought that was good, too. That candidate, Schrock, why, he laid her right on the ground, and he was awarded the position that he thought he was going to get, and I thought that was good, too. And his presentation prior to the election, why, he done a well job, the presentation he gave himself, why he was wanting to be reelected.
Well, I have to say, when Jason Schauber called in, he was one of the last things we did last night. He knew Glenn Coble was sitting right there in the studio, and he honestly, he was a straight shooter. Now, however you feel about Jason Schauber, he certainly gives his opinion. And Sue, when she called in before the election, I thought that was a very interesting interview. Now, I don't know if we will ever know if Bill Collins tried to grab a hold of her arm or not, but what I will say is that... boy, if you want election night coverage and you want a real contretemps of an interview, that was the Sue McGowan interview that happened pretty early in the evening.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you want a caption on everything, I'll give you a good caption before I get off. Well, I'm not going to hold up the airwaves much longer. But I'll tell you one thing. I never seen Bill Collins' picture once. And it was a colored picture, and I was on a one-way street, and I said, daggone it, there's Bill Collins. I never seen him or anything. So I thought, I looked and looked, and there was no chance of me getting in a wreck or anything, and I backed up about two car lengths to that the sign he had out, and I thought, man, that's a neat-looking sign. So anyhow, I didn't have a chance to really look at it good because I was looking from the curb over, and so, anyhow, the moral of the story is, I didn't know Sue at all. So, last night, I had the control of the flipper on the channels, and I was watching the news. And I don't know which station it was. I think it was Channel 6. And all at once, the only reason I knew that, I thought, man, there's two people. I wonder what they done. And all at once, I looked, and I said, hey, Carol, I said, that's Bill Collins right there. Because I said, I just looked at his picture. And one thing about me... interrupt, man. I always do that. I was always good at remembering faces. Carol said, all our married life, how do you ever do that? I don't know, but I could. Names, I'd have a little trouble, but faces, if I wouldn't see them for 20 years, I could remember. But now after we all got older, man, we sure changed looks a lot, but getting back to the looks, and I never knew Sue either. But I'll tell you, if looks was gone to win an election, there would be a tie with both Sue and Bill Collins because they're both good-looking people. And not judging people by looks or anything, but both of them are good-looking people. So if you had to just go by their picture, there would be a tie in the outcome last night. There would be definitely a tie, in my opinion, because they're both good-looking people. So I thought, well, I'll have to put that plug in there about... they were the Channel 6 or whoever covered that. I'm thankful for that because I would have never knew the two candidates at all until after, you know, I just wouldn't unless I met them personally and stuff like that. So hats off to the television coverage there, and I want to hear more about the people that Bill and Schreiber, and if you can have them on the air, I think the listening public would love to hear about it, and I want to hear more about everything on outcomes and stuff. You've done a great job, so signing off, and have a good day.
Hey, thanks.
All right, well, there we go. Well, there's a plus for last night's broadcast. We did. We had a ton of fun last night. I think we got it all done, And as I say, Matt Morgan's first time to be on the air last night, did a great job down at the Board of Elections, pulled it off superbly. And in the studio, Glenn and Sean and myself, hopefully we carried it off okay. I think we did. And the call-ins last night with Jason Schauber and Sue McGowan, I thought went very well. We just had a lot of fun. So if anybody has any critiques or comments about last night's election coverage, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. I'm just sorry Matt was not there for the pizza that got dropped off by Sarah at one point during the broadcast last night. But as I say again, we have the best listeners in the world, and that's why we're up and we're doing this, and we continue to do this. So if anybody's got any comment further on last night's broadcast, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. Now, as far as the results go, in the Republican primary for mayor, Bill Collins ended up taking about 82% of the vote. Sue McGowan got about 17%. Bill Collins got 907 votes. Sue McGowan got 199. Now, a lot of people felt it was going to go this way. Bill Collins certainly had raised more money than Sue. And I don't know if that whole thing last week about Bill Collins approaching her at the city council meeting hurt her or not. I really don't know. There was a lot of talk about that last night during our coverage. Does anybody think that that hurt Sue McGowan? You know, 80%, Bill Collins winning by 82%, that's a wide margin. But I'll tell you something. And interesting last night, Jason Schauber, when he called in when it was all over, made a very interesting point. Only about 1,100 people turned out in the city to vote in a mayoral primary. 1,100. Barely 1,000. Just over 1,000 people showed up, and Jason was talking about a lack of enthusiasm about these candidates. And that might be true. Maybe there is a lack of enthusiasm about the candidates. I don't really know. Do you think that says anything that only 1,100 people turned out in the city to vote yesterday in this Republican primary? I mean, primaries typically don't have a lot of voters, but 1,100 in a year with a mayoral primary? Just over 1,000? We barely cracked 1,000 votes in the city? I don't know if that speaks very good to what's going to happen in November. I guess we'll find out over the next few months. Now, in the third ward, if you heard Jason Schauber on the program last week, he used the word that he felt he had been targeted by the Republican Party, by Kerry Fuller, who was trying to unseat him in the primary. That did not happen. Jason Schauber ended up with 97 votes. Kerry Fuller ended up with 67. Jason got 59% of the vote, and Kerry got 40. So Jason Schauber will remain the city councilman in the third ward. He will have a challenger in November, but he said he felt very comfortable going into November's election. Now we go into the county. Now I've got some things to say about these county races last night, which were all pretty much levies and bond issues. Now here's the thing. Well, first of all, about 2,000 people turned out in the county, which, again, is a very low number. Now, let me go through this, and then I'm going to tell you what I think about this. River Valley was the big, River Valley School District was the big, big issue in the county last night. They had a bond tax levy that was on the ballot, which did fail. 864 people voted yes, which was about 43%, but 56% voted no. Then River Valley also had an income tax renewal in which 821 people voted yes, and over 1,500 people voted no. Now, oh, and there also was the first consolidated fire levy, which went down in defeat. I believe 279 people for, and 425 people against, only 39% of people voting for. Now, the first consolidated fire levy, that does not surprise me that it went down in defeat, because they've had trouble passing those levies out in the county for a long time. I don't know why that is. It just doesn't go very well. But I'll tell you, the River Valley issues were kind of shocking to me. And I'll tell you why. Because low voter turnout, which certainly yesterday was, only 2,000 people, a little over 2,000 people, voted in the county, usually favors the issue, especially a school issue. Because usually the group getting out the vote is the school. The school usually gets out the vote, and they get out the grandparents and the parents and the people in that district. And a few years ago, River Valley did this during a primary, and they actually passed an issue because they had low voter turnout, and they got the school to turn out to vote. Now, what was fascinating about yesterday was only about 2,000 people turned out in the county, which, again, is very low. But on both of these issues, the River Valley bond tax levy, only 864 people voted for that. And the River Valley income tax renewal, only 821 people voted for that. They were almost defeated by double the number of people who voted for them. Now, what's fascinating to me is I don't know what the population is of River Valley schools, to be honest with you. I know it's fairly big. It's the biggest. I believe this is still true. I believe it's still got the biggest population growing in of all the schools in Marion County, all five districts. And to think that only around 800 people voted for both of these things yesterday, you've got to figure the students there. I don't know how many are enrolled. You've got the elementary schools, you've got the two elementary schools, you've got the middle school, and you got the high school. And they could only turn out 800 and a half people for that vote. I find that very fascinating. Now, I will say this. I live in the River Valley District, and I did not know anything about this until Monday night. Now, I did go vote, but I will tell you, when I was there, I could tell that voter turnout was not good. It was not good at all. So I don't know if the parents were against this. Because you've either got to say the parents didn't show up, or they were not for it. They voted against it. Or they didn't vote at all. I don't know. I don't know if it was handled wrong. I don't know if they thought it was a slam dunk. But I would imagine if you could have turned out one parent for every kid who's enrolled in River Valley, you would have won these issues. Now, I don't know what these mean for the school, to be honest with you, that both of them went down last night. I don't know what the repercussions for the school are going to be. Maybe there are no repercussions. Maybe that's why it did not play well. You know, that's what happens a lot of times with these bond and levy issues, is they say, well, this is going to happen if we don't pass these. And then nothing happens. Maybe that was the issue. But I will say, I did not know anything about this until Monday night. And I don't know if there were meetings held. I don't know who was in charge of this. I don't know. I don't know what happened. The fire levy, I think, is a little different. Because who's the fire department going to turn out? The employees? You know, that's just people showing up to vote. And I think people come in with the idea that they do not want their taxes raised. And yes, there is a little bit of that with the River Valley issue. But again, I think you try to turn out the parents is what happened. So I don't know what happened there. But I will tell you, I did not know anything about this until Monday night. So I'm sorry that it didn't go over well, because I always appreciate school levies and tax issues and things of that nature, but something went wrong there, because the last time they did this, they did not have this kind of trouble. So I don't know. Does anybody have an opinion on that? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. but both the River Valley bond tax levy and the River Valley income tax renewal both went down in defeat, only about 800 votes for each of those issues, and over 1,600 against the bond issue, and over 1,500 against the income tax renewal. Again, don't know what happened there. Feel bad for the kids if anything is going to be cut or changed there, but something definitely did not go well. I don't know if there were any signs in yards. I don't know if people were out passing out literature. I don't know if this was one of those things where people tried to promote it only on social media. You know what I keep thinking about this? You know, that old saying, preaching to the choir, and maybe that's what happened here. Maybe they were trying to turn out the parents, and you really had to turn out the people who lived in that district who were not affiliated with the school, do not have any kids in the school. Maybe that's what happened. Because what's fascinating for this about me, you had no other issue really driving people to the polls in the River Valley district. I mean, the first consolidated fire issue I certainly don't think was driving people to the polls. The River Valley issue was really the top issue there. And to go down almost 2-1, I don't know. I'm not sure what that says about River Valley. Now, Glenn said last night during the coverage that he felt maybe the whole issue with the teachers carrying guns next year had something to do with that. I don't know if that had anything to do with that, really. I don't know. I didn't think about that when I voted yesterday. But something went wrong there. Clearly, something did go wrong. And again, I don't know the repercussions for what will go on for River Valley. But again, if anybody has any thoughts, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. And again, when it comes to the city races, I think the Jason Schauber win was probably expected. He's been a councilman for a long time. I think the Republican Party tried to throw him out, but Carrie Fuller did not really have a big backing. She had never run for public office before, so I don't think that was shocking. And I really don't think the Bill Collins win was all that shocking, because Bill had a lot of signs out there. He has a lot of name recognition, being the former chief of police and current chief deputy sheriff. And Sue, I think, was just running from behind the entire time. And that's what happened in that particular race. So where do Sue McGowan and Carrie Fuller go from here? I don't know, as we head into the main. But if anybody's got any thoughts on any of this, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's what happened last night when it comes to election primary 2023. But I do, again, have to thank everybody who was involved here at the station, Sean Kraft, Glenn Coble in the studio, and Sarah, one of our favorite listeners who dropped off a pizza to us last night, Sue McGowan for calling in for an interview, Jason Schauber for calling in for an interview after everything was over, and both being very honest, and Matthew Morgan, who first time on the air, did a tremendous job down at the Board of Elections. And I'm not just saying that. We've had a lot of people do Board of Elections work over the years, and sometimes it doesn't go very well. And he did a tremendous job, as the caller said earlier. So I'm sure we're going to hear more from Matt on this station as time goes on. But I could not have been happier with the coverage that we gave. I hope you got to listen to it last night. I hope you enjoyed it. And that's about all there is to say about that. All right. Again, phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you have any thoughts on our coverage, or you have any thoughts on the results in general, do you think the whole issue with Bill Collins and the video of the altercation at the city council meeting, do you think that ended up hurting Sue in the end to where she didn't even get 200 votes last night? And do you think this low voter turnout, only 1,100 people in the city turned out to vote last night, or yesterday, all day long, and that's absentee and early voting as well. Is that a bad sign as we head into November that maybe there's a lack of voter enthusiasm, as Jason Schauber was pointing out last night when he called in? I don't know. And what went on with River Valley last night? Were they not able to turn the parents out? Did the parents not want to vote for these things? Do people feel like they've been taxed to death at this point? Does anybody know what's going to happen now that they did not pass these issues, the tax levy or the tax renewal? I don't know. 740-751-4038. All right. If you got any thoughts on any of it, give me a buzz here. But that's election night last night. And thank you to the crew. I'm pretty sure that's probably going to be the same crew we're going to have in November. And now it'll be Glenn Coble versus Bill Collins for mayor. We definitely know what the matchup will be. Okay. You know, yesterday I was talking about my Google Dots. You know, I'm obsessed with these things now. It's how I listen to the station for the most part. Started with a Google Dot in my living room, and then I got one for the bedroom, and now I have one in the bathroom. So basically, there's nowhere you can go in my house at this point that I cannot pull up this station and listen to basically the things going on thanks to these Google Dots. They are great, and not very expensive, maybe $35, something like that. So I'm definitely a Google Dot person at this point. Now, here's something that happened yesterday that has nothing to do with the election, but I want to bring it up. Well, two things, actually. I was on my way to the station last night, and I stopped off at McDonald's because I had not gotten anything to eat. So I stopped off at McDonald's, and I got a large Diet Coke and a chicken sandwich. One of their, what do they call those? McChickens or whatever they are. So I pulled through the line at McDonald's, and I got to the second window, and they handed me the sandwich, and they handed me the drink. Now, when they handed me the drink, I immediately knew something was wrong, because the color of the drink was like, dirty dishwater was the color of the drink, light brown. And I'm thinking to myself, this does not look like healthy diet soda. So I tested it, and clearly it was not healthy diet soda. So I handed it back to the woman, and I said, I think there's something wrong with this. And she said, oh, okay, here's a Coke. And she handed me a Coke. Now, it looked better color-wise, but it was regular Coke, which is not what I wanted. So I said, well, this is better, but it's regular Coke. I didn't want a regular Coke. So I handed back the regular Coke, and eventually they decided that the diet machine needed to be changed. So I just pulled up into one of the holding stalls there at McDonald's and had to wait for them to bring out a new Diet Coke, which took about 5 to 10 minutes while they changed the machine. But boy, I'll tell you, if I would have taken that first Diet Coke, I probably would not have been around for election coverage last night, because it looked like something you would send off to the Center for Disease Control. I mean, it really had some problems. But that's where that started. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention are cars. Now, if you listen to this show, I am not particularly a car person at all. If you look at the cars I drive, I have never been particularly interested in cars in recent times. But now here, and I want to ask you, the people who are interested in cars, about this. Because something happened yesterday that made me think, well, I don't know, maybe it's time to upgrade. But here are my, this is my lineage with cars. Now, my first car, I have to say, I was highly interested in. Was I in college when I got my first car, or the end of high school? I was just beginning college. Well, I had a car in high school, but it was just kind of a secondhand car. The first car that I actually bought was when I started college, and it was a Honda Civic, black Honda Civic, tinted windows, spoiler on the back, CD player, all kinds of things. I mean, this car was decked out. And I loved this Honda Civic. It was good on gas. It ran anywhere. I took that car to Chicago. I took that car to Indianapolis. I took that car to New York, Manhattan. Nothing ever went wrong with that car. And I had that car for a long, long time. Matter of fact, what happened with that car in the end was I had been hit a couple of times, and the car had gotten so old that when they came to appraise the damage on the car, they just totaled it out because it was so old, but the car was still running fine. And I love that car. Good on gas, spoiler, tinted windows. It was just a great, great car. Had all these things inside. It was a great car. So when I got rid of that car, at that point, I was teaching and I was out of college. So, you know, I had a little more money than I had when I was in college. And I thought, you know, I'm going to get a nice car. And I went out and got a Lincoln. And I had the Lincoln for a period of time. Now, when I first got the Lincoln, it was a great car. Now, anybody who's ever had a Lincoln, you know, it rides like a dream. It drives very easy. It's just a great, great car. A little more expensive on gas, but it's a great, great car. But here's the problem with the Lincoln. About 2 years, maybe 3 years into having the Lincoln, it wasn't very long. One day I was driving home from the grocery store, and the car just stopped at a stoplight. It didn't shut off, but it wouldn't move. And this car did not have very many miles on it at all. Well, the transmission had went out. But it was a new Lincoln, and didn't have very many miles, and I thought, okay, I'll pay to do the transmission. And that's the one thing you don't want to change on a car is a transmission. So I paid, I got the transmission redone on it, got the car back, and it probably ran for another 2 years, and the transmission went out again. And at that point, you know, I said, this car is totally jinxed. I went for the big money car, I went for the luxury car, and this is not working out. You know, and I had just come off the little Civic, the Honda Civic, which ran for years and years and years and was still running when it got totaled out. So this was totally different for me. So the Honda, when the second transmission blew up, I thought, I got to get rid of this thing. So I got rid of the Lincoln and decided to go back to Hondas. And at that time, there was a Honda Accord that I liked. So I got the Honda Accord, and I drove that for 3, 4, maybe 5 years. It started having a few trouble. But it was a secondhand car when I got it. So that was not all that shocking. So it was still running, but then somebody came to me, I think it was in 2020, with the current car I have now, and it was a newer Honda Accord. And they said, would you be interested in this? And it was over the holidays, and I thought, well, my car is still running, but maybe it's time to do an upgrade. And I like the Honda Accord that I have now. Again, good on gas, runs, no problems, so on and so forth. So I upgraded to the Honda Accord that I have now. And I like the Honda Accord that I have now. I haven't had any problems with it, more or less. It's never stopped running or anything like that since 2020, so more than 3 years. It's definitely made it further than the Lincoln. But I'm telling you all this because, again, I'm not a car person. If it gets me from point A to point B, that's really all I need. But I am now fascinated as of yesterday, by the Teslas. Now, has anybody ever driven a Tesla or seen what these Teslas can do? Those cars are absolutely fascinating. Now, I know they're pricey. Now, I know what you're saying at home. You're saying, boy, that's a pricey car. It is. It is absolutely a pricey car. But has anybody ever seen these Teslas? I mean, these things are amazing. Let's take the phone call here. Well, we had a phone call there. If that's you, give us a buzz back. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If that was you, give me a call back. Not sure who that was, but if that was you, call me back. 740-751-4038. All right. So I saw this Tesla. And I looked at it, looked in it, and thought, you know, this is the type of car that I want. So although I love the Hondas, and I really like the car I'm in, and I'm really not a car person, I'm not all wound up in the type of car you drive, I think that I might have to go with a Tesla. Because, I know it's going to be expensive. I certainly understand that. But I just think they're the most fascinating, unique cars to be in. Does anybody know anything about the Teslas? Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I believe named for Nikola Tesla, the famous inventor. I don't know. I just think these cars are fascinating. I think that I don't know why this car has gripped my mind all of a sudden. Because, again, I'm not a car person. And the last time I got a fairly expensive car, the Lincoln, things went very badly transmission-wise. And I don't know how much that car ended up costing me by the time I was done with it, with the payments and then also the two transmissions I had to buy for it. But I don't know. I don't get the impressions that Teslas would break down. I don't know. Maybe I'm just in a mood to change things at this point. Because I think last year, as has been well documented, I pretty much had to stay in for about 4 months last year. I didn't really get to do anything that I wanted to do. And I think it's kind of sparked a wanting to get out and do things and change things that I did not have before, heretofore. So, you know, I've been going to places like Delaware, Upper Sandusky, Lima, the Quarry, you know, things I haven't got a chance to do for a while, out to eat, doing a lot of tapings, so on and so forth. But I love the Teslas. Does anybody have anything to say about the Teslas here in the last 4 minutes of this hour? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. In your opinion, should I go out and get a Tesla? And I'm not even sure the best dealer to go to as far as this would be. I mean, I think probably Columbus would be the best place to go at this particular point. Well, by the way, I also want to say I was so glad that our friend Roger was back with us yesterday. Apparently he'd been having some health concerns, but he joined us yesterday, and I hope he got to listen to the election coverage last night. And I don't know how our friend Lee is doing. I know one of our other listeners, Judy Smith, does help Lee out, and I assume he was back home because we heard from Judy, I think, one day last week. But Lee, if you're out there listening, I hope you're doing well, and we're sending you our best wishes, and we hope to hear your voice again soon because I know you're very interested in these political things. And I hope that Ted was able to get in contact with Pat Henry. I don't know if Pat's out there listening, but hopefully we got Ted and Pat connected on whatever issue that was for those two to sort out. So, I just thank everybody who listens to the show and everybody who returns to the show. And again, Sarah for the pizza last night. I don't know if Sarah got to hear any of the election coverage. Hey, Sarah, if you're out there, give us a buzz. Do you drive have you ever driven a Tesla? What do you make of them? You're out there driving the roads every day in Marion. By the way, where did that pizza come from last night? Now, I know Sarah told us she was going to be at the Bible study last night. So I don't know if that pizza came from Bible study or if Sarah went out and got that pizza. Also, I don't know if Sarah went home and listened to the rest of the election coverage, because we certainly were not done at 9 o'clock last night. We went on through 10 o'clock. In any event, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038, 58 minutes past the hour. And again, the recap again, Bill Collins wins the Republican primary for mayor over Sue McGowan. Jason Schauber wins the Third Ward Republican primary over Kerry Fuller. The River Valley bond tax levy and the River Valley income tax levy both go down in defeat yesterday, as well as did the First Consolidated Fire Tax Levy. And our group, Glenn Coble, Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, we cannot thank them enough for doing what they've done.
Go ahead, caller. We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, Matt Henry. I don't know if that's male or female, or if it was a high school graduate or not. Maybe next hour you just might tap on that and you can tell me, or you can tell me now.
You know what? It's a male, but I don't know if I have his number. I'll see if I can get it.
Yeah, okay. Right,
thanks.
All right, we're going to go to break here. We're going to be gone for 15 minutes, but we're coming back. Don't you dare change the dial.
WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio.
Anyway, I'm going to give it now, 740-383-9944. We're doing current events, and we're going to fly through them here. If you want to join in at any time on any current event, any memory, anything you want to throw on the table, do it right now, 740-383-9944.
It's all going to be world famous from St. Martin.
Is that called sangria?
Huh?
It's not sangria.
Oh, no. Sangria is in Italy. This is guava berry juice.
Guava berry?
Have you ever heard of guava berry?
I have had a lot of guava berry juice.